Well, babe, you're officially a mom.
And you're officially a dad.
So, my wife Angela is definitely my favorite blogger, YouTuber extraordinaire, and she's a pretty amazing wife, I must add.
And my guess is that a lot of you have seen my husband Matt on TV or in the movies, Wyatt from Timeless, Liam from 90210, anyone? How about Chicago from Pitch Perfect 3? I mean, he's bringing the sexy.
All right. So, if you guys didn't know, Angela and I created a podcast called Hello Bump to chronicle our journey as expecting first-time parents.
We really just started it for something for us to look back on, but we ended up really loving our weekly chats.
Yeah, so much that we couldn't stop there. I mean, now is the fun part, right? Now is the payoff for the 9 months of pregnancy. Now is where our life begins.
And we have a brand new beautiful baby girl, and we're so in love.
We want you guys to come on this new journey with us of figuring out, frankly, how to raise this little thing.
We know it's going to be tough at times, but we also know that the rewards are great.
Yeah, we're going to be chatting week to week about the joys and the struggles of learning how to do this parenting thing.
And I'm pretty sure we'll mess up a lot.
But from every mistake comes a lesson that hopefully we can pass on to you. So join us on this wild ride as we undertake our newest challenge, parenthood.
Hello, baby.
Ooh, and we're back.
Yellow.
For another crazy fun episode of Hello Baby, episode number 9. I don't really know quite what to call this episode yet, but we've got some special guests coming on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We've got my mom and my aunt.
Are you scared of the embarrassment that may ensue?
No, because...
What do you think? You were like this perfect child?
Yes.
Okay.
Number one. And number two, I am in full control of the editing bay.
Oh, that's not fair.
So I can bleep and cut.
That is not fair.
Anything I want to remove.
Yada, yada, yada.
Okay. Well, we have no idea what we're going to talk about. No idea what we're going to ask.
You know what? People love this. They love it.
We are sitting here in our studios in Antarctica in a hot tub watching the snow fall with a hot cup of chocolate.
Is this going to be our new thing? Every week you're going to make up a different lie about where we're at?
We're definitely not there. We're just in my office with a bunch of microphones looking like the Sweaty Ball podcast people. Okay, here we go.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, hey, welcome back, everybody. I guess, first of all, what we should do is introduce our special guests. I would like to first interview my co-host, my wife.
Wife?
My wife and my baby mama. Her name is Angela Nicole.
You want to interview me?
No, you're my co-host.
Oh, I thought you said you want to interview me.
I'm not sure what I said there. So say hi, Ange.
Hi, Ange.
Then I want to introduce my next guest. That would be my mother. I've known her for around 35 years or so.
Hey, Matt.
Her name is Jana.
Yep. Hey, Ange.
Hi.
Jana, come a little closer to that microphone.
All right. Here I am.
Do you find it offensive if I call you Jana, or should I call you Mom?
Call me Queen.
Queen, okay. Queen Burson.
Yeah.
And then to her left, in the bright green headphones, would be my Aunt Karen. I've known you for, I guess, roughly 35 years as well.
I believe so.
The span of my life.
Yes, that would be correct.
Welcome to the podcast. This is Karen's first time visiting.
Hey. Well, this house. Yeah. That's true.
This is the first time she's been here since the wedding.
Right. That's
she
correct.
She came out to meet.
For 5 years.
5 years ago.
She
that's
came
correct.
Out to meet our little one.
Mm-hmm. I sure did.
Miss McKinley.
Couldn't wait to get here.
Podcast is all about.
That's right.
And we're podcasting while Miss McKinley's asleep.
Right.
Yeah, she's asleep.
Of which I personally put her to sleep.
She did. The
milk and yeah.
You did
tonight
a good job.
Tonight was my night. I did good.
You did good.
I did.
Tonight
Thank
was
you.
The first night that you really kind of had the... Well, you guys did it together, but you fed her, you put her down.
Well, it was GJ's job pretty much the last four nights, and then I'm leaving tomorrow, so I had to do it tonight.
Yeah. The last hurrah.
But I had to be there to make sure you did it right.
That's right.
Well, we should specify GJ is my mom.
Grandma Jana.
Grandma Jana.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So.
Which Which, Aunt Karen?
Which I did come up with that name, correct. So that's why it's so good.
Are you kind of getting into the small speaking voice, Mom?
He's making fun of me, guys, just so you know.
When we first started doing YouTube and Angela's stuff, she would get real nervous. And Angela all of a sudden would go from this talking to me about, hey, let's get this, you know, YouTube video rolling. And I would say action. And then she would say, welcome to Hello Gorgeous, everybody.
I just wanted that is 100% true.
Show you wanted to do a hair tutorial here.
Well, I feel like if I talk soft, it's easier for you to edit me out.
It's not. Well, first of all, you keep moving away from that microphone.
Oh my gosh.
Number two.
I knew I was going to do this.
It helps if you scoot a little closer. Oh, come on into the circle.
GTA is trying to prove what a very soft, kind grandmother she is. I think is where we're going here, honestly.
If I'm really loud and obnoxious, like, you won't be able to edit me out.
I don't want to edit you out.
All right.
So, GJ, let's talk about the name GJ. You're GJ with all the grandkids.
Right.
And obviously, I'm assuming you want to continue the GJ thing. But you said the other day that it was a little hard to say.
For a 60-year-old. Not for all the grandkids.
It's hard for you to say.
Right.
Yeah. When you don't have your teeth, it's a little tough.
Well, she's got all her teeth.
I've been GJ for 15 years.
Other than in the back.
Yeah.
All right.
I've been GJ 15 years.
You've been GJ 15 years.
Yeah. I'm going
to
stay GJ.
You want McKinley to call you GJ.
Yeah.
Before we go any further, I just want to take a quick second to thank our first sponsor. So I love to cook. I love to get in the kitchen and create new meals. And I especially love when Matt loves my cooking.
I love that too.
Well, I hope so. But I've gotten into a little bit of a cooking rut since becoming a new mom. And I think it's because I just tend to gravitate towards the meals that I'm most comfortable with.
You also don't have a lot of time.
Exactly, that too. So I want to whip up something that's quick, easy, and I know that it's good. But in looking for new and healthy and delicious dinner solutions that are good for me and for Matt, I discovered Sunbasket, which is so cool because it comes in a box to your front door. And it's got all of the ingredients to create fresh meals. And it's so cool to me because it's ingredients that I wouldn't normally gravitate towards at the grocery store. I wouldn't pick these up when I'm grocery shopping. It's new and exciting foods and meals that I would never even think to prepare.
Yeah, like we had the other night, we had, I don't know how you say this, but it's like chicken tazar or something. It had lentils and had chicken in it, chicken skewers. Basically, it was chicken skewers. It was really good. And
I had fun making it.
And you had fun making it.
Yeah.
Because what's cool about it also is that everything's pre-measured out. Right. So it's easy to prep, and their dietitians have approved it. Angela and I chose the lean and clean meal plan. And it's actually cool because there's like 18 weekly recipes that you can choose from. They're all healthy. It includes like paleo, gluten-free, you know, like I mentioned, lean and clean and vegan options. And it's just delivered right to your door. It's just so easy. So you can eat clean, feel great, and skip the grocery store.
Go to sunbasket.com/baby today to learn more and get $35 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/baby for $35 off.
Sunbasket.com/baby. Now, Aunt Karen.
Yes.
You're a great aunt.
Right.
And you've been known in the past.
That's being great.
To go by GAC, Great Aunt Karen.
Correct.
But are you feeling good about GAC, or what are you thinking?
It's a little harsh.
Yeah.
A little harsh.
Right. It sounds like a Nickelodeon product.
It does.
Because it is.
That's true. So we have talked about doing the N because, as we have discussed, your older sister, Kara, used to call me N because she could not say Aunt Karen. So we kind of like that.
N. Okay.
It's kind of like that New York, maybe there's like that thing that goes on, you know, where people say like Canton, you know, like don't print it like, you know, like Peyton.
Peyton.
That doesn't go
on here.
I don't
know if that's a New York thing.
Might be a North Canton, Ohio thing. Mm-hmm. All my girls now, like, they have friends Peyton and they say Peyton.
Peyton. I think that's just a young girl thing.
We could scrap that then.
Here's what I think the North Canton is in Ohio.
That's North Canton.
No, North Canton.
North Canton. That, this is where they're both from. They're both from Ohio. You know, Angela's from Ohio. Originally from Ohio. And here's what I think the accent is like from that part of Ohio. Mm-hmm. And I can best tell it to you when someone says the name Matt. They'll say, Matt. They add like a Y.
I've never called you that ever in my life.
Well, I...
You do think my best friend Megan calls you that.
Matt. So it's kind of like that dragging out the...
Okay, so Tab from Florida, my husband, when I say lamb, he says, why do you say lamb? It's lamb.
Lamb. Like lamb.
But I say lamb.
Like lamb
almost
of God.
Almost like lamb. Liam, of which you're very familiar with.
No, well, you know, you have another grandson named Liam.
That is correct. True.
Which was or was not named after my character, Liam. Don't lie.
Absolutely named after your character, Liam, on 90210.
Right.
100% for sure.
Good. Yeah. I like influencing these generations of kids.
That's how that went down.
Perfect.
Okay.
Angela?
Yes?
What are you doing over there?
I'm taking it all in.
Okay.
There's so much to be had right now.
I want you to take part in this conversation.
Okay.
Now, Aunt Karen, one of the first memories looking back that I have is driving around, I think, Akron. You lived in Akron? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Listening to Janet Jackson.
Absolutely.
What do you say that was? 1980? I was born in 83.
I would say that would be 88, 89.
Yeah, that
maybe?
Sounds about right. Wait, 89?
No.
I feel like I was young.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, well, Janet Jackson for sure. 89. Yeah.
Yeah. 86, 87.
Yeah. And you came up and stayed with me. Mm-hmm. Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Yeah, you and Kara. Because I could not wait to have you guys with me. Because you were so awesome.
No, did we just stay, or were you gone on a trip somewhere?
I think this is all a lie. I don't remember.
I completely remember it because where I was staying, there was an exercise room, and I remember you getting on the treadmill,
ooh,
and starting to go really, really super fast.
Sure, there's no other way.
Well, that was the only thing to do. My fear was that you would go so fast and tiny little legs wouldn't be able to keep up with the treadmill and you would fall and zoop off of it. Mm-hmm. That was my fear.
Fit fam from the time of age 4.
That's right. That was my concern.
All right. So let's give a little bit of their story. So
okay.
Jana, you have Matt and his older sister, Kara.
Yes.
But you also have five stepchildren.
Yep.
How many grandkids?
10. Now.
Total of 10.
Yes.
Okay. Karen, you have 4 kids.
I have 4 children. That's correct.
And 1 grandchild.
That is correct.
Just a little backstory. A
little background.
A little background on our guests today.
Okay. Great.
Anyways, so I wanted to guide the conversation a little bit.
Sure, guide away.
Yeah, so this is a little bit more of a fun question, maybe. If for both of you, mm-hmm. What is your biggest piece of parenting advice for Matt and I with McKinley and any future kids too?
GJ, you want to go first?
See, I feel like these are questions that we should have given them before so they had time to think about
No. I think
I like it when it's off the cuff.
Is good.
Yeah, you like that?
I like it when it's off the cuff.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
That's when you get your best answers.
Yeah. Go, GJ.
Ooh, well, I was so young, you know, when I had you guys. So, oh my goodness. I don't know. Just like, I spend like so much time and just do as much as you possibly can. Like, just, I don't know. I feel like I was a very young mother, but I loved the whole taking you guys out to swim and go roller skating and go bicycling and just like do things together. You know, and create
like being
memories.
Active.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just like every opportunity you get, just, you know, don't miss an opportunity because I be outside and just do. I don't know. I mean, there's so many things. It's like it's the whole, you know, definitely the connection, obviously the connection with God and who they are in Christ. And, you know, but just I don't know. There's.
Is this like
so many different things?
Is this advice in general for, you know, all of life, all of growing up, or is this like a when we're young kind of thing? Like, don't miss a development moment kind of a thing, or
yeah, what,
like, is this just super broad?
Well, okay, I don't know. I think it's super broad. However, I feel like I don't know. I think it's the one thing I feel like I did right, because I feel like I probably did a lot of things wrong.
Now, did you work from the time that like Kara was born and I was born? Were you always working and stuff, right?
Well, at first. Well, I worked. I went back to work when Kara was 6 weeks old, and then we moved.
Now, did you have a full-time job or part-time job?
I did work full-time.
What were you doing at the time Kara was born? Because Kara's 2.5 years older.
Right. So I actually went back to a chiropractic office.
What? Did I know that?
Probably not. Yeah.
Oh.
You didn't need to know. You weren't even here.
My relationship with my mom has just been on a purely need to know basis my whole life.
But you do that to Anne. You always share things with her, kind of. They come out.
I'm constantly learning something new about him.
Right.
Constantly.
Yeah.
Especially in this format right here on the podcast.
I've heard.
Yeah.
Look, I've had an interesting life, you know, and you've come into it in a later stage,
And it's a good time to learn right now.
Yeah. What better way to learn than in front of thousands and thousands of people listening?
I guess, but I'm your wife. So
okay.
I don't know. I just feel like
you worked.
Yes.
No, but you say you feel like you did that right. So you somehow found the time to spend the quality time with us. Is what you're saying.
Yeah. When you were little, I mean, yes, because when you guys were little, I worked different hours so that I could spend time with you. So I chiropractic office, and then I went wallpaper store. I cleaned offices. I did whatever it took to.
You worked at a candy store. I know that.
Yep. Worked at a candy store.
I feel like you might want to work in a candy store again. Mm-hmm. Is that an accurate assumption?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. Well, I just get that vibe.
Not considering she works for a dentist.
No. I think you're getting her confused with you.
I just get that vibe.
You would want to work in a candy store.
I feel like you would love to work for the Atlanta Falcons somehow.
Anybody out there? I might need a job.
Dream is to be a bat boy.
Right? I think so. Here, the reason I'm saying this, because me and Angela have talked all the time about, you I don't know if you enjoy your job, or maybe you do, maybe you don't. I'm not really sure. Mm-hmm. But we're always talking about, like, what if we buy a candy store or Nothing Bundt Cakes and we can have our moms run it for us?
Our biggest dream is to own a Chick-fil-A.
So I think I'm just trying to plant that in
here. We would love to have a Chick-fil-A.
Well, let me go back to this and ask you this question. What do you remember growing up as a little boy? Like,
oh, man. Well, that could get real long, long-winded. give what specifically?
Like younger.
Like earliest memories stuff? Mm-hmm. Well, some of my earlier memories, we talked about it a little bit a couple days ago. I'm sure I have earlier memories, but just since we just talked about this, when I was I in kindergarten or preschool? Kindergarten. So I'd have been 5, right? Playing the video games and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That was
yeah.
kindergarten.
Yeah, right.
So I remember Kara was already, you know, what, second grade, I guess, at that time. I was in kindergarten. In kindergarten, you do your school like noon to 3 or whatever it is. You have like a half day, basically, is what's happening. So I remember getting up in the mornings and playing video games with you, Atari, Asteroids, Pitfall, Food Fighter, or whatever it's called, Chopper, or what's that? Chopper or something? Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, we played video games. I loved that. I remember you worked at a carpet store at some point. And I remember running in and out of the carpet stuff. And I always thought that was super cool. Because the carpets, you know, all rolled up were probably 12 or 15 feet tall. Well, at least it seemed like it at the time. So it was like this amazing jungle gym. I remember going to shops with you when I was young. I don't know how old. Like Easter shops and like little trinket shops like that, Christmas shops, things like that, that are around Canton. As far as like spending time with us and stuff, I don't know. I guess those are the things I remember. Sort of.
Okay.
Young. Is that what you're looking for? Does my answer please you?
Oh, yes.
Does my answer please you, Mother?
It's so good, honey.
Okay. Will I get my dinner tonight?
Maybe.
May I have some porridge?
May I have some more, please? I'm very...
More?
I am very hungry.
Oh. Can I share one of my early...
I would love you to.
...memories of Matt?
Please.
This will be a good one. Aunt Karen didn't have any children at the time, you know. GJ and Aunt Karen are only 15 months apart, but...
And let me just say, I remember saying that you were, like, very involved in Karen and I.
Mm-hmm. When we were young. Very involved.
Yeah.
You were like my kid. Like, matter of fact, I loved you like you were my own.
I feel like when you were pregnant, that I feel like that. How old would I have been at that time? I don't even know. But I remember going like, I wonder if that's gonna change like big time with Aunt Karen. She's really gonna pay much.
Yeah, because you were in my wedding. Like, you were my guest book.
So maybe I was nine person. Or something.
Yeah.
I remember.
You were my everything. Like, you and Kara were my. Everything.
When Trace was born,
I was 13. Like, no, I could had to have been younger.
Well, Trace is 22, so
35.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. Boy, I looked young. Late bloomer.
Yeah, sure did.
Late bloomer. Looking back at those pictures, but I remember thinking, like, I wonder if Aunt Karen's gonna really, you know, care about us much anymore.
So how'd that turn out?
Exactly how I thought.
Which is,
you don't. No, I'm just kidding. But I do remember you.
Lies.
I do remember you. I remember feeling that you were very, very involved in Karen and I's life. So yes. go ahead with your story. Yes. I don't know if that has anything to do with what you're going to say. But
well, it kind of, well, part of it, yes. I went shopping for you and found you a very adorable pair of cowboy boots. And
just kick the tires and light the fires,
baby. Uh-huh. And I brought them to the house, and you tried them on, and you were in love.
Nice.
With these cowboy boots. So I do believe the next morning, as the story goes, and I don't know if your mother remembers exactly, but she, yeah. So apparently the next morning, you came downstairs in your cowboy boots, but that was all.
He still does that.
Nothing's changed.
Mm-hmm. I think you were two or three.
How do you think we got little McKinley?
Cowboy butts drive me nuts.
Right. Yep. Ange had on her cowboy hat.
Yep.
Matt and his cowboy boots, and away they went.
This
knocking boots.
Boots scootin'. Yeah. Boots scootin'.
This must be a bit of a recurring theme, Mom, because I know we have photos of me,
you naked in
at
boots?
The refrigerator.
Oh.
Naked.
You had those boots on. That's the picture.
No. This picture that I'm referring to was in Georgia.
He was 16. Oh.
minus about, I don't know, 8 years or yeah. something like
we
that.
We had a discussion about that. Because I thought you were 4 and you said you were like 10.
Well, I don't know.
He was definitely older.
I don't know
the picture.
I don't know if it was.
So
10.
I don't know why he was naked though, in the refrigerator, even at 10.
Well, excuse me. First of all,
because it was hot.
No. First of all, why was I naked? Sure. But second of all, why is there a picture?
Ooh.
That's the real
Ooh.
Issue.
True, because we didn't have cell phones. Like, we didn't have immediate camera. Like,
no, like somebody went.
So how long did you stand there naked in front of the refrigerator before somebody found the camera to come take the picture?
He was hungry.
That's a good question.
Well, I don't know.
That's what I want to know.
It depended on what was in there and my choices.
But, and just how hot you were to stand in front of that refrigerator that long.
First of all, this is Atlanta, Georgia. Who knows? Maybe our power, you know, could have been out or
it was
something.
Humid. The light was on in the refrigerator.
It was humid.
It's humid.
He's trying to make excuses.
So, but I had to have been at least 8 years old, I think. And I'm pretty sure that's Georgia. I could be wrong about it, but I think that was a picture from Georgia.
Probably so.
So,
yeah. Anyway. I got none. I have no idea.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess it's a recurring theme. Hmm.
The nakedness.
Hmm.
The nakedness.
Right.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get that under control before she gets too much older.
Right.
Yeah.
Because baby girl doesn't want to see all that.
However, no. McKinley is fully clothed. She has about 7 layers on tonight.
I keep trying to take layers off her, the poor thing.
Mm-hmm. She does. Mm-hmm. She has 7 sleep layers.
Mm-hmm. But she sleeps for 12 to 13 hours. So are we going to change anything?
Right.
Not a.
Nope.
Not a. thing.
Nope.
But you see he's always trying to strip her down too.
Right.
Yesterday the pants had to come off because that, you know, she's more comfortable without the pants.
Naked.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. I feel like...
Just because you like to be naked doesn't mean that she wants to be naked.
No. Listen, all funniness aside here, I feel like...
Right.
I feel like everybody thinks babies are these things that you dress up in blankets and layers and socks and onesies and... But they're
and twosies.
And twosies. Yeah, got you here on the onesies and twosies.
I got your twosies.
But they're people just like us. And so... Would you want to go to bed with like four layers on? Probably not.
Only if I could peel them off during the night.
You're asking the wrong person here.
Yeah, Angela likes layers.
Yeah. I've slept with my house coat on the last two nights.
House coat is what Angela calls a robe for the rest of you English-speaking people out there.
You make fun of me with house shoes too instead of slippers.
Yeah, that's weird.
Sorry about that. Okay, wait.
And I sleep with the window open.
No.
In Ohio.
Yeah. No, here.
Oh.
And in Ohio, when it's 15 degrees, I have to have fresh air. But that's beside the point.
So I feel like, how awful is that to have all these layers on and you can't do anything about it?
We have a baby who gets like irrationally angry when her hands or feet are cold.
Well.
Like has a meltdown over temperature. So that's why.
All right. Well.
You do have to get a picture, though, and send.
Of her with the layers?
With all those. Yeah. Like
her sleep suit.
Yeah.
Because her sleep suit looks like a little snow suit.
It's so cute.
I don't know if we've talked about the sleep suit or not, but it's
no,
really...
we will. We're going to do that in an upcoming
sleep
training episode. Yeah.
Okay.
Because everybody wants to know how we have gotten her to sleep 12 to 14 hours a night. So we're going to do a dedicated episode on that one.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is phenomenal.
It's very awesome.
That you've done that.
But truly. She's also a bad napper. So, you know.
Yeah.
She's an awesome kid all the way around.
She is.
I'm not.
She's precious.
Yeah,
she's pretty great.
She's pretty amazing.
Yeah. All right. So for you,
yeah,
Aunt Karen, you didn't get to chime in yet. What's your piece of advice for us? Your one piece of parenting advice.
Right. I would. Boy, gosh, advice.
And you had time to think about it.
No, I really haven't. I mean, I think things are different for me. You know, with the first one, with Trace, I was very, very just all over it and all over him and all over and just making sure everything was right. And then, as you know, you all know, then we eventually adopted three kids, which changed everything. And, I had to learn that there were different personalities and different ways to go with the kids. And things that I got really upset about years ago, I don't get upset about now. And the really, really, really super overused cliche of pick the battles is
even applies to parenting, huh?
So true.
Yeah.
So true. When it comes to the kids, I have completely learned that you just got to pick what's important, and some things you just gotta let it go. Really. I mean, honestly.
Now, if you could give us, without embarrassing any child, in case they were to ever listen to this.
Right.
Give us an example of a battle you picked to fight and a battle you picked just to let go recently.
Recently?
Sure, why not?
Okay, so a battle to fight is going to be... you got to do what you say you're going to do. And if you have a commitment, you got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a battle that I'm going to say, that's just a life lesson.
Because you're trying to instill that in their character.
That is correct.
Okay.
Right. A battle that I'm going to let go is going to be, you were supposed to be home at 9:30 and you didn't get home till 10.
Mm-hmm.
That does not change the world or, you know, really, that's not a life or death situation. So that's going to be a battle. I'm going to go, I told you to be home at 9:30. It's 10 o'clock. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to worry about that one.
Now, Mom, let's say I were growing up, hypothetically, and let's say I came home a little late. Hypothetically.
I know where this is
going.
This
is so hypothetical.
It's a total hypothetical situation. let's just say I was at a football game and I
was maybe out with a youth pastor.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
or
yeah,
sure. Not sure. Play.
No, no, sure. Since you said it, let's say I was out like at McDonald's getting ice cream with
after a football game.
When you were in ninth grade?
Yeah, with a youth pastor.
Oh, I mean, just, you know.
Yeah. Now, is that a battle that you would choose to fight or let go?
Oh, I had two perfect children.
That is, okay, this is Aunt Karen talking because our voices sound alike. That is correct. Matt's mother is the most fortunate person to have the most wonderful two children, Kara and Matt.
No credit to me at all.
No, complete credit to Jana. That's a fact.
So you did pick that battle to fight, though. Here's the story. All right,
it was the only battle I ever had.
No. I remember battles.
Well, I even heard about this battle.
Yeah,
I remember battles.
Go ahead. You know, just call me out, honey. Just call me out.
Well, it's funny now.
It is.
It was ninth grade. And really, truthfully, I didn't really remember this until you kind of talked about it a couple times, you know, last few times I saw you or something. Ninth grade, went to a football game, mm-hmm. Friday night. I was out with my youth pastor, his wife, some other friends. I guess I didn't come home at a proper time, which was, I don't know, 9 or 10 p.m. Maybe I was out until like 11 or 12 p.m.
Yeah, 2.5 hours later, I didn't know where you were.
2.5 hours. Okay. And at this time, listen.
No cell phones.
Yeah, no cell phones. You know, I was no Zach Morris. So I didn't have a cell phone. I don't know if I had a pager. And if I did have a pager, I don't know that you would know how to text the pager language.
Yeah. But you didn't.
But I didn't at that time because I did end up getting a pager. A clear.
I had a pager too.
A turquoise see-through pager.
Mine was red.
Well, that was from then on. Then you could tell me. Yeah. You were out with yours. Yeah.
So my mom was livid.
Right.
Livid. And I think she was angry and yelling when I got home.
You got grounded.
Because I'm like that.
And I got grounded for being out with my youth pastor.
Yeah, she even called Aunt Karen to tell me about it because she was so upset.
I did?
Oh, I knew all about it.
Oh, wow. Hmm. Yeah.
Because she was scared.
I was scared. So all of you moms out there, just understand for 2.5 hours, I didn't know where my son was after a football game. And I was afraid he got jumped because that's what moms think.
That is correct.
And so.
We grew up in a fairly nice area, but we were playing a team that was a team from a not good area. And you were concerned that because you worked in the school system.
Right.
You had heard there were some rumors of some of these.
Some rumbles
of a possible rumble.
The Jets and the Sharks were meeting that night.
Yeah.
It was the Eagles and the Meadow Creek whatever.
Meadow Creek Mustangs.
And the Poets. Right. And the Longfellow Poets.
Right. Yeah. Okay. You know what? That was the only thing. Okay.
Gonna beat you up. Gonna come to your high school and beat you.
Deedle.
So there was no rumble.
Okay, honey, that was the only thing I ever did wrong the whole time I raised you.
Well, why are you you're getting defensive? You know, there's no need to be defensive. I'm stating a story. This is factual information.
And
this is not opinion based. There's one other thing that you did to me in my.
I'm a good mom.
I know where this is going.
Oh no,
you do?
What? Yeah, go ahead. I already know.
No, this is really kind of not serious at all.
I'm going to call you out.
Is it going to be your birthday?
I want you to call me out. My birthday? Oh, we can talk about that
next.
Oh,
okay, that was bad.
Funny. Oh, I thought that's what it was.
That was bad, and that's funny, so we'll talk about
that
in a second.
Because I am funny. That's where you got your funny from.
No, you are funny. We'll talk about that next.
I love that really that's your defense, but I am funny.
There is a positive and a negative to this next story, but what I was going to say real quick here is that a lot of Saturday mornings you would rip open my blinds mm-hmm. and throw all of my messy room stuff in the middle of my room.
I did.
At like 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning. When you're in middle school or high school, there's just nothing worse than getting up at 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning with your mom throwing all your loose things in the middle of the room.
That's true.
Now, looking back, could I have kept my room a little more cleanly? Yes. Has it rubbed into my adult life where I could be a little more cleanly? Yes. Angela complains about it all the time. Okay, quick time out. Just wanted to say a real quick thank you to our second sponsors of today's episode, Bloombox.
Bloombox is a monthly children's subscription box, and it ranges from pregnancy to preschool. And this month's Bloombox, we got a couple of really cool toys that I know McKinley is going to love, such as the stroller cards. Each month is a surprise, but they do provide a sneak peek of the items before they actually ship out to you.
What I like is the Bloom promise that you will always receive at least 4 items valued at a minimum of $45. Subscriptions are as low as $27 a month for a year, $29 a month for 6 months, or $34 for a month-to-month subscription, which is a little more because you have a shorter time.
So when you sign up for 6 or 12-month subscription at Bloom.com, that's spelled B-L-U-U-M.com, you can receive a free box when you use baby at checkout.
Yep, that's B-L-U-U-M.com using the word baby at checkout.
Babe, your pig pen.
So what I will say
You know from Charlie Brown, the dirt cloud?
Oh, sure, yeah.
There's
yeah.
a sock here, yeah. there's a sock over there, there's a shoe here, a hat here. And
to that, I apologize.
So what I will...
she tried.
What I will say is I think you were onto something back then. But let's get on to this next story.
But let me ask you one thing.
Sure, yeah.
Did you like it when I woke you up instead to... when the red robin comes bobbing.
I don't remember that, Diddy.
Along.
I don't remember that, Diddy.
Along. There'll be no more sobbing.
I think
comes
you.
Bobbing along.
Did you used to come in?
Along. That was not me.
Did you used to come in singing good morning, good morning?
Yes. And, yes.
See, I don't remember the robin thing, but
yeah, when the red robin. Bobbing along.
Yeah.
Along.
Yeah.
There'll be no more sobbing when he starts bobbing along. Wake up, you sleepyhead.
Yes, yes.
Get up, get out of bed.
Yeah. Live,
that's
love,
the,
did learn you? To be happy.
So did you like?
That's the part I remember.
Yes.
Yeah. So this next thing is
Sorry for bringing this up. I thought this is what you were actually going to talk about.
Well, here's the thing. First of all, I feel like my mom's always been real cool about this. One of my best memories of this birthday thing. You know when you go to, you know when in class when you're young, you on your birthday, your mom brings in cupcakes or cake or ice cream for the whole class or whatever, or cookies. So one year's third grade. Mrs. Brock's class.
Oh yeah, she was nice.
My mom, I came into class and my birthday is April 1st, so it's April Fool's Day, obviously. So I came in and I told Mrs. Brock, I said, "Hey, it's my mom's, you know, baking some brownies, but she's really been not feeling good."
Did I prompt you?
Yes, you were in on it with me together.
Ooh,
it was
we're good.
I was our prank on the class and on the
See
teacher.
See how we do?
That's what I'm saying. This is what I'm getting at. We were a team. It was our prank. Mm-hmm. I went in. I said, she's been real sick, not feeling good, but she's really going to try to bring those brownies around lunchtime. I remember you brought them in, mm-hmm. a couple of trays.
And Mrs. Brock was so impressed that I actually was sick and came in.
And still did it.
Yep.
Peeled back the foil.
Oh, yeah.
And we had a big thing of fake vomit.
Oh, it was so good.
Rubber fake vomit on the brownies.
No, you did not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then everybody was like, yeah. You know, it got a big reaction. And that was so great.
That was the beginning of showbiz for you.
When I had to go in and lie. Because that's basically all I do is lie. I lie about.
Something like that.
Yeah. So, that was fun. I've always remembered that, and I feel like I've told that multiple times to multiple people.
Why didn't I know about this? And Karen knows everything.
Well, because it wasn't as serious as getting jumped after a football game.
Right.
True.
Here's where the birthday
mom
April Fool's thing backfired on me.
Yes.
Ninth grade. Mm. First of all, ninth grade was a tough year for me, mostly because of my mom. Everybody at school was really cool to me, but freshman year, it was great.
Except me.
The seniors were great. It was my mom. I came into class.
You just watch that inheritance, son.
You got a big inheritance coming?
Yeah.
First I know about it.
Yeah. Me too.
So I go to school. Nothing crazy has happened. this isn't really like my mom to pull jokes on me or anything. So I wouldn't say it's like a normal thing. Like, it's my birthday. I need to watch out for my mom. You know, so I was definitely not expecting anything. I walk in, my first class. I think there's a big neon poster sign that had a picture of me when I was, first grade. And it says, like, it's my birthday. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of like I captioned it. And it's my cheesy smile, first grade smile. In ninth grade, when you're in ninth grade, that is not a fun thing to have your, just the attention and to be called out like that in front of your whole class, period, for any reason. And ninth grade is not really what you want to be happening. So then second period rolls around, there's another daggone poster hanging in the classroom.
Locker room.
Well, I'm getting to that. Sorry. So you know, the next one, I walk in my math class or something, I don't see a thing, and I'm like, oh God, thank the Lord it's over. Mm-hmm. You know. And then the teacher says, okay, everybody, you know, sit down, everybody, all right, today. Well, but first of all, and then he goes and he flings down the projector screen and it flicks back up, and there's a huge poster of me, and it's my birthday. I'm the birthday boy. I'm 15 years old today. You know, look how cute I am. Yeehaw. You know. So then it just gets worse and worse and worse. And by, you know, like fifth period or sixth period, I had peed.
You didn't want to go to class.
I didn't want to go to class. I was about done. It was the worst birthday ever. I was about done. PE rolls around. We had a large school, about 4,000 kids in our school, about 900 kids in just my grade, 4,000 kids in our school. My mom goes and hangs poster boards over the boys' locker room. These are where, like, senior boys are, you know, going in and out of the locker room. It's my birthday. I'm a cutie pie. Patootie patootie. And by the time I get to my PE class and the posters are hanging all over the top, there's, like, gum and spit all over my face. Because people would, like, spit all over the poster and, like, hawked loogies on it, and it was awful. And then I learned my girlfriend at the time was, like, in on it too. And
all your teachers, and they thought it was cute.
And I couldn't understand why no one else thought that was a bad idea. Especially the boys' locker room in ninth grade to have your mom hang posters.
Wow.
So
this is the first time I finished
my wine on that one.
This is the first I'm hearing about this, and Aunt Karen, once again, should know about everything. I might have advised her. No, I would have gone with it. Never mind. Sorry.
Well.
Sorry.
Anyway.
It made you a strong person.
Yeah, I suppose so.
It made you who you are today.
Right.
Yeah.
I was just training you.
Sure. No, it was great.
Hey, all you people that are listening out there, you know what? Would you have, like, you know, give us some feedback on this? I think that I was a mom who was so caring.
She was involved.
That I was so involved, and I went over, and all the teachers, they loved it. They thought it was amazing. I thought it was a great birthday for you. Yeah, you didn't get it. You got no gifts.
Just posters.
I spent all the money on all posters.
All the birthday money on posters.
Yeah. Look, my mom has always been supportive. You know, I think she just about went to every single one of my games, for every soccer and baseball, football game I had. But she made a few mistakes along the way, and that was one of them.
I may have. Okay, and I do. I deeply apologize for that.
But not that deep.
Not that deep.
I do. I feel bad.
Because now we just spent the last 10 minutes talking about it on the podcast, and it's been great.
Thanks again for calling me out.
You're welcome. So here's another question that Angela and I wrote down for you. What has been the most rewarding parenting moment for you guys? Mm. Any one of you can go first.
Per child or on a whole?
No, it doesn't have to go per child, because that would probably take a while between all of the kids.
Yeah.
But I don't know, just in a broad way, I suppose.
I would say, this is Aunt Karen, because I know Jan and I sound a lot alike. But anyway, I would say for me, the most rewarding would be when my kids kind of unex- unexpectedly come to me for things, like, or share things with me, or kind of let me know that they really want to be independent, but when it really comes down to it, for right now, so depend on Dad and me. So it's kind of like that thing where it's just that fulfilling thing where you know that they
trust, need you,
need me, trust me, know that I have their best interest in mind with the things that I do. And I think that's really rewarding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's really big.
Yeah. It's kind of like that feeling of A, being needed, but also knowing that they feel safe and confident, comfortable in, you know, yes, just about you and Dad are, yes, the only people in their life that they can feel that safe and confident with.
Correct.
That you'll be there for them.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because they will fight it all the way saying how independent they are.
Sure.
But when it really comes down to it, just many, many, many instances where they just, mom, what do I do? Mom, they'll be at school and text me, mom, something, you know, like this is going on. Mom, what do I do? And that is so rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Mom, what would you say?
Gosh, I can't think of one in particular. I just like, you know, having two biological children and five stepchildren, there's just a huge amount of things that have, you know, that I can say who have maybe been big deal things, but I don't know. I'm going to speak just to you. Because of course, you know, Kara and I, my first child, we're incredibly close and we talk every day, and just to think that, you know, the relationship that we have, and my oldest stepdaughter, she asked me to be in the birthing room with her first child and second child. That was amazing. But speaking just to you, and of course, the other children as well, there's different stories that just stand out. But
because I have, you have, how many? Well, four?
Five step.
Five step.
Right.
Yeah, five step. Yeah, so I've got five step brothers and sisters.
And I've raised, like, they're not distant stepchildren.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Oh, there's so many, Matt. But one thing that I think was just amazing to me when I was in my, I don't know, you were like in your teens, late teens, and there was some financial issues going on that was a struggle for me. I had gone through a lot of changes. And you said to me, you had gotten a bonus from the Atlanta Braves. And there was something going on. I won't go into details, but you had actually called me and said, Mom, whatever you need, I have money to take care of you. And you were like, I don't know, 20?
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
yeah. 20. Yeah. And you had offered, like, here you are, a 20-year-old in college, and you're calling your mom and being so responsible and saying, whatever you have, and you laid out specifics of what you wanted me to do, which was so, like, amazing to me to see, like, such a young person and to see, just your love and your care. And it was to me and, you know, Val.
I'm not sure that I know exactly what you're talking about. Is there anything that you can broadly say? Because I know you said you don't want to get into detail.
Mm-hmm.
What did that have to do sort of with? Do you know? Or do you not want to say?
Yeah, well, one was the house.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So
I was able to do a little bit of like help.
Was a situation where we were buying a house, and this was with me and Matt's stepfather. And things kind of fell apart. And he called and said, what can I do? Mm-hmm. I have some money and I want to offer it to you. And actually, you did offer it to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we accepted.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, paid you back.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean,
and it happened. Your house happened.
And it happened. And a lot of, you know, just the fact that you did that, it was like, oh my goodness, you know, I've got this child here and you didn't have to do that. And you were so young, really, when you think about it.
I'd been working since I was 15. I'd been, you know, making money, yeah, doing jobs for a while.
Because you went to school and played sports and had two or three jobs always.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I look at, you know, kids now, and I mean, that was one huge thing. There were so many. Yeah. I mean, there's things with, you know, relationships with Christ and who you and Kara picked as your partners, and, you know, obviously, and, you know, I mean, there's so many. I can't even, oh, I mean, proud. I don't know. That's me.
So that was one of your more rewarding moments then, is just.
Well, it was just yeah, like, oh my goodness, my son is offering to help us, and he could be doing whatever he wants with it, but he's offering to help mom buy a house. Hmm. Yeah.
All right,
pretty cool.
All right, so here's another question for you guys. What's been the most difficult parenting moment? And again, doesn't have to be even specific, just, I guess, in a general sense. Any one of you go first.
Well, I was just kind of saying that that to me, and it surprises me, not necessarily a difficult situation, but just that you realize as a mother that your heart is always with your children, no matter from the day they're born, you know, at 3, at 7. And this is something I've kind of tried to share, you know, a little bit. It's like, you know, the day that you have that child, you will never love them any less than the day you first met them. And so you will always love them more and more and more and more. And I mean, that's the way I feel. And for me, not a difficult situation, but just that even as adults, like, their happiness is always on your heart. It's just always like, if you know they're not having a good day, or they're having a health issue, or they were having issues with their own children, or, you know, just like, your heart is always, you're at work, your heart is always with them. It's just doesn't change. And then you go from your children to now your grandchildren. And then, are they having a bad day? Uh-oh, something happened to them and their teacher's upset with them. Oh, why is their teacher upset with them? Do they really know them? Do they know their heart? Do they know who they are? You know, do they know how amazing they are? Or, you know, and then it just goes down. So you go from your children to make sure they're happy, and then your concern goes to your grandchildren. And I think.
So are you saying once your child has a child, you no longer care about your child?
No, it's like, now.
I see where you're going with that.
No, now it's like two-dimensional, three-dimensional, right, right. Four-dimensional.
Right.
It's like, yeah, you know, and then you not only care about, of course, the love that you have for your child, but whatever's going on in your grandchild, but then you are really concerned about their relationship and making sure everything's, like, you know, right and good, and it's a big job.
Yeah.
But it's so fulfilling.
Yeah.
From day one.
And Karen, most difficult parenting moment?
Well, I might just kind of have to continue with what Jana was saying. The absolute most difficult thing is not when your child tells you they hate you, or when they say, you know, you don't know what you're talking about, all that stuff, because that'll pass. But when your child is hurting, or somebody hurt them, or somebody said something against them, or bullied them, that's when Mama Bear just comes out, because that's the hardest part, to know when to step in and semi-fix things, know when to stay back and let the kids fix what they need to fix. I mean, it's that has absolutely been the toughest part of parenting, is watching the kids get hurt. Because if somebody says something against me or hurts me or says something mean, I can deal with it. But come against my kids, and it's a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the most difficult part.
Kind of parlaying on to that difficult question, what advice do you have for us in watching her grow up and like the sadness of watching her grow, the excitement of it, but the sadness, because we're already experiencing that, you know, like every day, day to day, we feel like she's getting bigger, and those moments of her being so tiny of, you know, sleeping on my chest, or, you know, they're kind of like already going away.
Yeah.
What advice do you have to like handle seeing those little special things in her life go away?
Me specifically?
Either one. Either one. Yeah, both of you, I guess. What advice do you have for us on that and how to deal with her growing up?
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to conscientiously not think about the future. You just have to think about...
live in the moment.
Live in the moment.
Mm-hmm. And just cherish that moment with your kid.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because because the future is could be so much, I mean, way more phenomenal. Like, I mean, look at me. I didn't have any idea what your future would be, or your future with Angela, or, you know, now with your gorgeous, you know, McKinley. Because mm-hmm. you don't know the good that's going to happen. You just know, like, in the time that you don't want to give up what you're doing right now. So don't give that up. Don't take the thoughts and go, I can't deal with what's, this may not happen 6 months from now. No, because what may happen 6 months from now could be so amazing. However, don't give up that time right there. Conscientiously say, I'm living in this moment right here.
So it's kind of like, don't even waste the 3 seconds on that thought, because that's 3 seconds you wasted not living in that present moment.
Yes, and you might have to make an effort to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would say, you know, as precious as those moments are, and they are irreplaceable, as your children get older and you start interacting with them in a different way, it becomes a whole new scenario, a whole new love. And then they start becoming these little people that now respond to you verbally and tell you what they're thinking and what they're feeling. And then they start with the, oh, I love you and thank you, you know, and then it becomes a whole new thing. And then as they grow and you watch them become, you know, these beings that, you know, sprout up to these wonderful people, it's there's joy in every stage and every moment. And I think what you all are doing with taking lots of pictures and lots of videos, you're going to remember it, but it never gets stale, because there's just always newness with every year, every, you know, it just, because it's just constant change, constant growing, constant new things that are very, really cool, really, real, very, very cool times with your kids.
If you guys had to pick a favorite age or favorite stage, you know, what would it be?
Oh my gosh. If I had to think of it, I couldn't pick one, because every stage I could pick something favorite about it.
Mm-hmm.
But like when I think about my kids when they were little and how cute and, you know, licorice was ticklish and hot dogs were hot gogs and all those cute things. But now it's, they're, you know, my kids are 14, 18, 22, and 23. And now just watching them with their jobs and, you know, like Trace with his music. And I mean, it's just all of it is awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's funny you're saying that, because you had a friend, Angela, tell you that every stage was her favorite stage, and it continues to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you ask her a year from now, and a year from now is probably going to be her favorite stage.
Yeah.
You know, because there's so much to be, there's so many rewarding things in every single stage that you feel like that stage that you're in right now is the best.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jana, do you have a favorite age?
How old are you, Matt? Edge. Well, as far as like, you know, enjoying little children, I have a favorite stage for other people's children, which I love the 3 and 4,
That's what my mom says.
Yeah.
For.
Yeah. Well, and because it's great. Just so like unpredictable and it's so like, you know, like they think they have knowledge of the whole world. So, but that's maybe other people's children. Like I just in children, you know, but, you know, I worked in a middle school for years and a lot of people don't relate to middle school kids. And I thought they were pretty cool, you know, and then of course my kids in high school and then I, you know, so yeah, I feel like other people's children, there's like cute and fun and interesting stages, but my own, like as you were talking, I was thinking about my granddaughter who is going to be 2 in a couple weeks and how when we come over, she raises her hands and she runs to us. How precious. But I also have my granddaughter who is in her teens who told me a couple months ago when she was upstairs in a room having a really bad preteen
meltdown
day that I was the only one in her life that understood her.
I remember that. I remember that.
Yep. And so, you know, every, it's like you said, I think every stage, you just have to,
Embrace it all. Yeah. Just embrace it all. It's all good.
It's a God-given stage and a God-given time in your life. And you have to enjoy it for what you've been given.
You never know.
You don't know. Yeah.
No, those twos, the terrible twos, is this a real thing?
I don't think so. I mean, not for me. Well, of course, you two are perfect. So.
Sure.
Except for when you were with your youth pastor.
Oh, well, that was ninth grade. That one night. That one night for two and a half hours.
That was a very traumatic night.
If it makes you feel any better, I can only remember being grounded as a teenager for, you know the story, putting on makeup. I was putting on makeup.
What happened? You were putting on makeup.
And look where you are now.
Right? Oh. My dad should have to be grounded now.
You sure showed him.
No kidding. Mm-hmm.
Seriously. Mm. I think it was in ninth grade, and I was putting on... My mom told me that I could wear a small amount of makeup to school.
Right.
It was her and my agreement, and my dad didn't know about
it. You had a covenant with your mom.
We did.
Makeup covenant.
We did. And my dad walked into my room, and he did like a knock open. It was real quick. So I heard it and I threw the makeup across the room. And he goes, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Nothing." And he goes, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Nothing." And the third time he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I was putting on makeup." And because I lied and said nothing twice, I was grounded for I don't even know how long. I mean, I was in huge trouble because I was putting on makeup, but I said nothing. So
okay,
that's kind of like the.
I think that was the same night that Matt was in trouble,
right?
For going with the youth pastor,
right? That was number one time I got
these two troublemaker kids.
You two are so rebellious,
destined to be together.
Wait, I have an even better
one. We're like
one,
Romeo
though.
And Juliet, aren't we?
Oh my!
I was grounded twice in high school. That was number one. Number two is when I got suspended from high school.
Ooh. What?
Yes, because I went to a very strict Christian school, and there's a 6-inch rule.
Ooh, what'd you do? Pray tell.
I hugged a boy.
Oh boy!
I got suspended from school.
Oh yeah.
Even worse, I got grounded because I had a boyfriend in school,
and it was a different boy.
What?
Is a different boy you're hugging?
No. Okay. I wasn't allowed to have a boyfriend. I wasn't allowed to talk to guys on the phone until I was 16 years old.
Wow, that's crazy. I specifically remember talking to girls on the phone in fourth grade.
Oh my gosh. I remember I was mortified. I had a guy call my house one time and my dad answered and said, "She's not allowed to talk to guys on the phone." He hung up on him. I was mortified.
I remember.
Yikes.
In fourth grade, I was sitting on my porch. I was talking on the cordless phone to Elena Page, and she told me she liked cheese.
Cheese or G's?
Cheese.
Who says that they like cheese on the phone?
We had a conversation about cheese. It was a very adult conversation.
Look at all the cheese we had tonight for dinner and how awesome that was. So really, that was the beginning.
That's true.
It was, you know, I don't know how long that conversation went, but... It was interesting.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for you.
Sure.
What will you do if McKinley gets a phone call in fourth grade from a boy? From a little Matt Lanter.
Oh.
Well, if the conversation is like, "I like cheese." "Oh, you do? Me too. Cool. See you tomorrow." Maybe I'll be okay.
You think you're going to be okay?
You know, that's a difficult thing because now we're in this day and age of cell phones and personal devices. And
yeah.
And did you ever listen into our conversations over the phone, Mom?
Well,
did you care enough?
Not yours,
Kara's, you did? Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not really sure yet.
You're already laying down the ground rules for, you know, what she's going to not be allowed to do as an adult. She's not going to be allowed to be an actress. So,
I don't think I want my kid to be an actress. I don't know. There's a lot of crazy people that are actors.
There's a lot of heartache in acting.
Here's what I say. No, that's true. That's very true. And it's a very serious thing, actually. But a lot of people say, oh, are you married? Is your wife an actress? I say, no, she's normal. That's always my response.
It is your response.
Because I feel like I can say it. Actors are crazy.
Well, you tell me all the time that you wouldn't have married me if I was an actress.
No, I don't think I would have. But yeah, you know, with the acting thing.
Well, you're not crazy.
Well, you know, behind closed doors.
Okay, well, a little something.
There is a lot of heartache with the acting.
There really is.
You really have to be prepared to hear no.
You have to have a lot of self-confidence.
Well, no, I don't think that's it. I mean, I guess to a degree. But you either got to have a lot of self-confidence to where no doesn't affect you, or you have to be able to plow through the no's until you get a yes.
That's a confidence issue, I think, is to feel confident enough to keep continuing to do what you're doing when so many people are telling you no and not take that personally.
Yeah, I suppose so. I guess
there's a lot of sales jobs like that, though.
That's really true.
That's mostly true. No's.
Well, I mean, a lot of no's.
Sales to my world.
Well, yeah, it's true, but here's the difference in a sales job and this job is that in a sales job, they're rejecting a product or an insurance plan.
With you, they're rejecting you.
They're rejecting you. And in how you talk and the way you look and how you speak and who you are. Mm-hmm. They're just literally rejecting everything about you personally.
Well, I feel the most common note that somebody gets, an actor gets, is that they're not the right look for. So, I mean, it's hard to not take that personally when you see on the page what this character's supposed to be and you fit that character, but then they tell you that that's, you know, I don't know.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot of, before you even get a note of you're not the right look for the character, you might just not get a note at all.
Right.
You just don't get a call back, means you've been rejected.
Modeling's got to be the worst when it comes to,
Well, that's all vanity based, and that's hard too, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Take it very personally.
Yeah.
So what's McKinley, what's she going to do?
I don't know what she's going to do.
I'd be a rocket scientist.
Mm. You think so?
As much as you love NASA.
I don't know. I feel like
she seems to be looking more and more like you every single day as you're sitting here with your wet McKinley hair.
She's really into Mickey Mouse Playhouse right now.
At 3 months.
Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
I can vouch for that.
And so maybe she'll be
hot
like
dog,
an
dog, hat
maybe
dog,
she'll
hot
be like
diggity
a,
dog.
Right.
Maybe she'll be an animator or something like that.
Maybe she'll do voice acting. You'll be okay with that.
Yeah, yeah. I love the voice acting world.
So I wanted to touch on adoption a little bit. We had Melissa and Justin Gaston on Hello Bump, and they had talked through adoption, but they were very early into it. Their daughter Olivia was, 1 year old at the time? But you have lived through 3 adoptions and many that didn't actually go all the way through. You went through the process.
Correct.
Multiple times. To the point that you were on, what show were you on?
2020. Barbara Walters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Baba Walter.
Yeah, Baba Wawa.
Baba Wawa.
Then they followed you and your husband.
Through the adoption process. That's
now,
correct.
At which adoption was that for? Had you already adopted at this
point?
Nope,
that was our first.
It was your first. Mm-hmm, okay.
That was Carriana. Yeah.
So how many do you... Wait, Carriana was your first adoption?
Mm-hmm.
Why did I not know that?
Yeah. Our youngest was our first. Our oldest was our last.
How old was she when you guys adopted her?
5 days.
Wow.
Brought her home from the hospital at 5 days.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So going through this and actually raising a biological child along with adopted children, what's that been like, the differences? Like, is it easier? Because you adopted at various ages.
Correct. Yes.
So with that comes so much, not baggage, that's not the right word I'm looking for, but there just comes along with it so many different issues.
Correct.
Because of different ages. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So going through the process of, I have a biological child. Mm-hmm. How do you mold in the adoption process into your family is my question.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
Well, you know, we had Trace and he was 8 and you know, we had had Tanner 17 months after Trace. He passed away. I had a miscarriage at 40. You know, we were a little older anyway. And Tab and I felt that our house was not full yet. We didn't want to have just one child. So we decided to go the adoption route. And that was a tough route to go. Somehow we were fortunate enough to, you know, be with an agency that got our profile out to a lot of families. And we did, you know, we were picked to be on the show and, you know, the 2020 show with Barbara Walters. And they followed five families through the adoption process. We were one of them. And it got down to two families. And at the end, Tab and I decided that, that was not the right adoption for us to follow through with, and we actually backed out.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Yeah. We backed out. That was kind of behind the scenes.
Mm.
And then after that, I mean, we had quite a few, very, very close, what we thought was adoptions. There was one that we had where the girl was five and we drove up to, Painesville outside of Cleveland and, met the mother, and she gave us all the pictures, of which I actually still have, of this little girl that was five and adorable. And we were leaving our meeting to go to the courthouse. She was signing the papers to turn her daughter over to us. And the father of the daughter that had never been in the picture for 5 years shows up at the courthouse and stops it.
Wow.
And we're just devastated. And wow. I couldn't talk for 2 days. We also had another one where there was a little girl that we were supposed to get, and she had some issues, but it was okay. And that at the last minute fell through. So it was very up and down, very, very wow. trying, very mm-hmm. emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And but anyway, then in December, so our first adoption was Kariana, and a family out of Columbus saw our profile and chose us. And, you know, we met with them and that was our first one, Kariana. Wow. And, mm-hmm. and, that was very, you know, really cool. And then a couple of years,
how did Trace deal with bringing home new baby?
He was perfectly fine
at eight.
Talked with him about it
mm-hmm.
and he said he wanted a sister mm-hmm. or whatever. And, you know, Trace is just Mr. Easygoing. Everything's mm-hmm. always good with him. So he was perfectly fine with it. And they were just, he just thought she was great. And it was awesome. You know, she's a doll. And then a couple of years later, you know, came our second one, Janelle. And we adopted her at five. She was actually an extended family member. And we had tried to adopt her for 2.5 years and foster homes and this and that. And anyway,
an extended last family minute, member of Kariana?
Of our family.
Oh, I never realized mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, she is actually the great-granddaughter of our aunt.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. But I had never met her, but I knew she was in the system.
Okay.
So then got her at age five, and then she had a half-brother, and we would have him over for holidays. And then he was 11. He was in foster care. And we felt like if we didn't adopt him, nobody else would have.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we just felt like he and Janelle should be together. And so he was our last adoption, and he was 11.
Got it.
So that's how that went down. And it was, but it was a lot. It was a lot. With our last adoption, we did leave that up to Trace. Because he was going to be older than Trace. So we said, do you want an older brother? Or do you want to just leave our house, the kids, as is? We decided that was going to be his choice. And he said, no, I want an older brother. Yeah, let's do it. So we did.
So, but wait, real quick, back to this, the kids that have fallen through for you. Mm-hmm. This is sort of news to me. I think maybe I knew, but I've forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever get on Facebook or Instagram and look up those kids and see where they're at now? Have you ever done that?
No.
Really?
No. Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm.
Have you ever thought about doing it and stopped yourself? Or no. That's just something you've not thought about?
Not thought about it.
Wow.
Mm-mm.
Interesting.
No. Because what I feel is, and these are for parents who are thinking about adopting, I just feel like God has the perfect family for you.
Yeah.
And the children that you're supposed to have. And I feel like those fell through because we were supposed to have Kariana and Janelle and Steven. So that's how I feel.
I guess I wasn't asking that in the way like, oh, they're the ones that fell through. No, in the way like, oh, the curiosity, because you have you ever been curious about how their lives ended up? You know, that's what I meant.
Well, it would be very tough to look them up because I wouldn't know what their last names are.
Because if they've been now adopted out, then
it's all, yeah.
Yep, true, yeah. true. Didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
All right. Angela, do you have any more intriguing questions to ask this pair?
Okay, so this question is geared at Jana, because being a part of a blended family, do you have any advice for anybody out there that's listening who is getting ready to enter the role as a step-parent?
That's interesting. How to approach a blended family?
Yeah, how to approach blending two families together.
You know what? I think it's just such an individual thing for each situation.
I'm sure, yeah.
You know,
but do you have any general
wisdom? Well, I just think it has so much to do with the ages and, you know, because... Because
you kind of got every age.
I went
age.
All. Yeah, yeah, we went... the youngest was 11 and in the 20s, married. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I think it's something that, and of course I had five, so it's something you have to work at. And there's, for me, I can only speak for myself because every situation is so different. I mean, you know, you can be the stepmother of young children and they don't know any better, but then they don't know, you know, any different. Like my grandchildren don't have any idea that I'm not their biological grandmother, just because of the situation that we're in. So like, that's like such a non-issue for us I will say that, you know, you can expect to go through some issues, and I suppose counseling is something that you might always have on the back burner if you need it, and don't be embarrassed about it. I didn't do it, but it's something that I think would have been a good idea, you know, for us. And then there's the rewards too. So, you know, I think about like one of my, there's been so many situations that I think of my stepchildren at one time, you know, having to form that relationship and to get over the hurdles. And then all of a sudden you get to a point where, like I said, my oldest stepdaughter, I'm the one in the room with her when she gives birth to her children. And the youngest that I raised has called me on several occasions and said, I just wanted to talk to you because I know you would be the one that would give me the best advice. You know, so I can't say I have any advice, but know that you might be in for a rocky road, but know that there's tons of rewards.
Okay, well, I feel like we've learned a lot.
Yeah, I learned some new stuff.
I feel like I've had some therapy when it comes to my birthday and all that. I've finally been able to talk about it.
Did you get that off your chest?
Yep. Mom, I just want to thank you for just being my mom for 35 years. And I hope that continues. And Aunt Karen, thanks for introducing me to Janet Jackson. And
no problem. Mm-hmm. My pleasure.
And, the treadmill.
I mean,
absolutely.
Let's be honest here. You and I probably wouldn't have been a thing if it wasn't for involvement of these two.
It's true. I would say both of you had quite an involvement.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and sign off. Hey, thanks for joining us. Hope you guys had a little fun. I got a little insight into some history had a blast. And thanks for joining us, guys. If you want to go and rate us and review us on iTunes, that really helps. Drop us some comments. We love hearing from you and seeing your feedback. You know, we're going to skip the listener feedback and Q&A this time because we've gone a little long, but we'll
get back to it next week.
Next week, episode 10. And
if you guys want to ask any questions, go to Hello Baby Podcast on Instagram and send us a DM with your question, because that's how we are answering them on future episodes.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Mom. Thanks for joining us, Aunt Karen.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
My pleasure.
We love you guys.
We're staying here, so you made us do this.
Yeah, I wouldn't let them go to sleep.
It was an exchange for room and board.
They're on Ohio time. They're super tired, but
We withheld dinner until
we're usually really fun and
my
cute.
My mom keeps nodding off. I keep smacking her with a ruler.
We're definitely fun.
Yeah.
And cute.
All right.
Really cute.
All right, guys.
We'll see y'all later.
Bye.